to 9 a.m. I want to open the March 12th meeting of the Benton County Commissioners. Will you please join me in for the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, indivisible, and justice for all. Okay, thank you. Okay,
that was fun.
I want to make a motion to allow Commissioner McKay to run the meeting.
I'll second.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Will, take it.
All right. Thank you. Can we get approval of the minutes for March 5th, 2024?
Motion to approve the meeting minutes for March 5th, 2024.
And I second.
All right, have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you. Review of the agenda.
We do have one item we'd like to add to the agenda under other business for the prosecuting attorney's office for relocation expenses for a new hire.
Okay. All righty. On to public comment.
The purpose of the public comment period is to give the audience an opportunity to provide comments to commissioners regarding agenda items or other topics. It is an official on-the-record communication geared toward giving information and opinions to consider in the decision-making process. While the commissioners welcome hearing from you, please know that the public comment period is not an opportunity for dialogue with commissioners or for posing questions with the expectation of an immediate answer. Many questions require an opportunity for information gathering and deliberation. For this reason, the commissioners will accept comments, but will not directly respond to comments, questions, or concerns raised during the public comment period. Audience members who wish to speak should raise your hand to be called upon by the chairman, or virtual participants use the raise hand feature. Come to the podium, or virtual participants unmute your microphone when called upon. State your name and address for the record. And after speaking, write your name and address on the record sheet. Virtual participants do not complete this step. To allow every participant an opportunity to be heard, public comments will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The chairman will indicate when your allowed time has elapsed. In the interest of running an orderly meeting, we ask that you do not duplicate comments made by a previous speaker. Instead, please simply confirm your agreement with previous statements. When appropriate, the commissioners may refer an item identified during public comments to the county administrator for further action. Please note that if a speaker intends to give commissioners any records of any kind as a part of a presentation, the records must be handed directly to the clerk of the board for distribution.
All right. Anybody here in Kennewick? Not seeing anybody. And I don't see anybody in Prosser. Anybody online? If you're online, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing. Alonzo. Where? Oh, Alonzo, do you have your hand raised? If you do, please state your name and where you're from. We'll give you 3 minutes.
Hello, Alonzo from Kennewick. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to comment in a meeting 2 weeks ago. One of the commissioners made a comment about his fishing trip to Cuba and the experience of traveling through the Tucson airport. I apologize. I don't know which person that was that said that. I just remember hearing it. But he observed some of the people in the airport and classified them as illegal immigrants because of the way they were dressed and the different security protocols they were following. I want to give kudos to that person for bringing up that topic. It's a huge problem that not many people want to talk about. And I want to add to what he said. I have seen many videos of illegal immigrants coming to America recently, and most are military-aged men without family. I don't think we can simply blame the illegal immigration problem on the current presidential administration alone, though. We need to change that narrative. Tyranny only happens when order followers enforce it. Yes, I know some don't like hearing that truth, but I'm talking about law enforcement. America is supposed to be a country of law and order, but there's a big difference between enforcing lawful orders and enforcing unlawful orders. The Constitution of the United States of America, Article 4, Section 4, establishes that the United States shall protect every state in the Union against invasion. We are currently being invaded, and law enforcement is following orders to allow it to happen. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and the administration and law enforcement are violating the Constitution and their oaths of office. United States Code 18 USC 1918 provides penalties for violation of oath of office, which includes 1, removal from office, and 2, confinement or a fine. Many officials in our government from top to bottom are treasonous, and nothing is being done about it. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody else online? I don't see anybody else. Do you see? Okay. All right. We'll close public comment.
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion.
Go ahead.
Approve the consent agenda items A through N.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you. All right. Moving on to scheduled business. Mr. Adam. Oh, and Carly, too. There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I don't know.
Is the button, is the light up?
The light's on.
Oh, the light's on. Okay. Yeah.
You can get what you get. So over the last few months, we've been working with stakeholders to address increasing court security concerns generally, and more specifically, the gap in superior court security left by the removal of security duties from the bailiffs. Our goal with the package that we're presenting today is to offer a robust court security plan that addresses the needs of various stakeholders and can easily scale as we move into the future. And I'll turn it over to Adam to kind of detail.
Yeah, like Carly mentioned, we've worked with Superior Court, District Court, Sheriff's Office, Human Resources, Finance, County Administration, and the commissioners to help develop this court security position. It's a budget neutral position that will allow us to provide court security for superior and district courts while allowing the sheriff to redirect resources as he sees fit. And happy to answer any questions or concerns you have.
I don't have any questions. I'm just excited to get it figured out, and especially with it being budget neutral too and stuff, so that's great. Commissioners, do you guys have any questions?
No, I'm good. I think it's a good thing.
All right. I'll make a motion. I move to approve the court security classification description and salary schedule replacement as presented. Can I make all three motions? Or do I just do one individually? Okay. Can we get a second on that first motion?
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. Also, I'd like to make a move to approve the transfer of funds within the Insurance Management Fund 5040 for 3 court security positions as presented.
Second.
Have a motion and a second and another second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Last one. Move to approve the transfer of funds within the Public Safety Tax Fund 1480 from Department 115 to 135 Administration for 3 court security positions as presented.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Judge Scooter, I mean Judge Burroughs.
I have my scooter. Thank goodness.
Good job.
Yeah, well, just don't tell my doctor. I hope he's not online. Well, first of all, pro tem, I guess, from my perspective, first of all, commissioners, thank you. First, let me say from that last resolution, I want to thank the commissioners for taking courtroom security important. I appreciate all the stakeholders that really worked hard to get that initiative up and running based on the restructure of Superior Court with respect to the bailiffs. It really is an important part both for Superior Court and District Court and then all the community to have a safe place where they can come and have their cases litigated without the fear of being, you know, heard or harassed in the courthouse. So I want to thank the commissioners for doing that and all the staff that have worked really hard to get that done. I know it's been a challenge for the staff, and I do appreciate that on behalf of the Superior Court. I know that District Court will be happy now that we'll have additional staff for security. And I wholeheartedly support what the commissioners are doing with respect to this initiative. It will create a safe environment, and it will give a little sense of relief on a number of folks within the courtroom to make sure that there are security. So why am I here? So first of all, I based on the restructure, and as I've talked about with courtroom security, we're here to restructure the court operations and for the courtrooms. I want to also indicate this is the restructure and reallocation of resources is budget neutral. We currently have two open positions, and we'd like to reorganize those positions that will assist the court in operations to the extent it's more efficient. The reallocation of these funds will be budget neutral for 2024, and we believe also in 2025 and 26 budget. It does appear that the reallocation of the resources will be a savings about $14,800. And what this reallocation or restructure will do is really give us a sense of efficiency within the courtroom, specifically with respect to the recording of the proceedings within each within courtrooms. As you know, the board knows that we've had difficulty hiring court reporters that capture the official court record. And as I was in front of the board last June, is that it's historically very challenging to hire court reporters because of the shortage of those reporters with respect to the profession overall throughout the United States. And we only currently have two court reporters that are currently assigned to Superior Court, both Benton and Franklin County. And they are historically used for trials to make sure that the record is done accurately. As you know, that based on that shortage, we've been relying on digital recording within the courtrooms, and that those digital recordings have become somewhat of a challenge for an accurate record. And a number of proceedings, for whatever reason, have not been accurately recorded. And we've had a number of feedbacks with respect to the reliability of the JAB system. And as you know, we were here back in June that we started a pilot program in Courtroom E to once again reallocated resources through Superior Court to assign one individual for the Benton County only and Courtroom E that was solely in charge of recording all those proceedings. We'd like to today ask for the expansion of that in Benton County to add two more positions and two more courtrooms to expand the pilot program to make sure that we have an accurate record and more dedicated dedicated individuals to ensure that the record is more accurate to the extent that we won't have to potentially redo hearings or proceedings because the for whatever reason, the recording is not accurately being recorded. So these positions today, based on the restructuring,
would be case managers, and they would be assigned to two additional courtrooms in Benton County. We're hoping to do courtroom B and courtroom C with these positions. And we're hopeful, you know, we got to get to a point that, you know, eventually, again, through attrition for the reporters, that we might be able to have additional resources within all courtrooms. But that's a, I mean, that's our long-term goal. But in this incident today, we want to come before the board and have a reorganization, restructuring, which is budget neutral for these two case managers. We'd hope the board would support that proposition or the reallocations. And once again, it's budget neutral. There'll be some additional savings, and then we'll get hopefully during the budget cycle for 2025 and 2026, we would be able to expand that if the budget allows within our own budget allocation. So Tiffany, did I get everything?
You did.
Okay.
I just had a question that popped my head. How many cases do you have to redo? Just out of curiosity. I mean, because I'm totally in support of this. I was just curious, like, you know, after, you know, you're recording it and then also you have to redo a case. Is it like?
Yeah, I can speak. I can. Well, I've heard numbers and I don't from.
Yeah, you don't have to be exact. I was just curious.
What I've heard is between 20 and 30 cases.
Yeah.
I know one particular case from Division III that they were unable to either hear or any of the recording whatsoever. Yeah. And I know for a fact that two of the potential hearings had to be redone.
Yeah, and this by saying yes to this, it saves time, it's saving money.
Yeah.
And especially with it being budget neutral. So that's just, yeah, I wanted to be out there to show that, hey, we're saving time and money on this.
Yeah, and I think it gives a sense of at least the public when they want to know to request a recording that it's actually, you can hear it.
Yeah.
You can also, from a transcriptionist, you know, when they get a copy of that, you know, they're able to hear it and transcribe it to make the record. And I think that this will just give some confidence, if you will, with the position that are dedicated to monitoring all the new technology, if you will, mm-hmm. that we got with the courtrooms, microphones, and making sure the system's operating correctly during all proceedings. And that each lawyer that are in the courtroom are either mic'd up, they can hear all the proceedings. And it's really essential during, you know, even all hearings that we make sure the technology is working the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I will say, Commissioner McKay, I have no idea of all those microphones. I rely on Robert to help me if there's some issues, but IT. And I think this will just give some confidence. So back to your question. I know two for sure. I've heard between 20 and 30. Maybe Tiffany can expand on the number.
That's my recollection as well. We hope to have more numbers in the regular budget cycle when we rediscuss this.
Statistic analysis.
Yeah.
So cool. You know how many.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions for the commissioners?
None for me.
Just real quick, Judge Burroughs, I appreciate you guys' presentation. I know this will go ahead and have more complete, accurate records, so that's a positive thing. And I really appreciate you guys looking within your budget how to reallocate funds to make this budget neutral, and it saves taxpayers money. And as we do that, we'll be able to go ahead and we're keeping the ship in the right direction forward as we're especially going through a budget process here in the future. So I really appreciate that. Also, the comments is reference to a courtroom security. I know one of the first things that happened when I was about 3 months into being elected into this office last year was district court was very concerned about courtroom security. So now that we have this in place and we're working through this, I appreciate your comments. If you're a court and district court judges, I hope you're happy with this. And as promised earlier, a few months ago, we'll get staff together with you. I'll be there as well, and we'll go ahead and give you more of a game plan of how we're going to implement that. So appreciate all your presentation, both of you there, and everybody have a good day.
All right.
Commissioner Kay, can I just respond to
go ahead.
Commissioner Alvarez? Yes, we're very happy, Commissioner Alvarez, with the security. I know that security has been a big issue. I thank you again for the board and the commissioners taking it really serious. We are Obviously, we value courtroom security, and I know that the commissioners understand from a risk management standpoint and how hard they've worked. Yes, we're really happy, and I do appreciate you saying something, Commissioner Alvarez. We too are very serious about this and concerned, but I think this will go a long way in resolving some safety concerns within the courtrooms and also in the courthouse overall, but to the extent, you know, a lot happens in the courtroom, but a lot happens outside the courtroom once they're done within court that can create a safety and security risk. So thank you.
Well, I'm just appreciative of all the departments that are, you know, making these changes and finding it to be better, but also it's amazing that we're finding it to make it budget neutral. Right. So I'm totally excited about how all the departments are working on their budgeting and making it budget neutral and, you know, not going to taxpayer dollars for, hey, we need more money, which I'm excited for making it go this way. So thanks.
You bet.
I'll make a motion, move to approve the transfer of funds within the general fund, fund 0010, Superior Court, Department 123, as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. 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 All right. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right. Is it Mr. Eisinger coming up?
Yes.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I have the other business item before the board today.
Yes, sir.
And that's a relocation reimbursement request for Eric Puccio. He was a Grant County prosecutor, has been in practice for about 16 years, currently in Spokane. I anticipate that he would accept an offer, but we would ask the board to approve reimbursement for up to $5,000 of his relocation expenses. That's authorized under the policy. I've reached out to administration, worked with administration on this, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
So is the $5,000, is it like, okay, it only costs him $3,000? Do we pretty much it's just maxed out to what, like, not to exceed 5,000, but it could be $2,000 or $3,000 or something like that?
It's a true reimbursement. So he would have to keep his receipts.
There's and then
specific
perfect
reimbursable items that are described in the policy.
Yeah.
So it's fairly narrowly defined. So what I have done in the past is provide the applicant a highlighted copy of the items that are actually reimbursable. And then they are required to provide us with invoices or receipts for those items. And then I just have my office administrator make sure that we're on track with that. So the primary expense that typically comes up is the cost of moving household goods,
yeah,
right? It's hiring a moving truck and getting mm-hmm. all the guys to load the yeah. truck and move all your belongings. As I said, I'm sure you know, Mr. McKay and the other commissioners, it's very hard to hire lateral prosecutors with experience. I'm excited about Mr. Puccio because he would be able to, coming in the door, handle homicide cases, violent crime, sex offense cases. He has 16 years of experience. And so he presents an exciting opportunity to plug into some serious work.
Because I was going to say, I have a big boxing trader. I could go help him move for a dollar or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure he would take
yeah,
any
there you
help
go.
We give.
All right. So, any questions for the commissioners?
Two questions real quick, Eric. So this is within the budget, correct? The hiring one.
That is correct. So there were some other conversations just to, leading up to today's request to ensure that we are making a hiring decision that fits within our current budget for this biennium. That might involve some inventive things down the road, but we'll get there when the time comes. And then this specific relocation reimbursement request, that request is being made from funds within our current biennium budget.
Okay. Right. And also just the last question, just because the reason why you're here is because it was less than the 200 miles. It's a little bit less than that. So we're just trying to make sure that's why we're doing this approval as well, correct?
I lost, Commissioner, the last words that you said.
Oh, okay. So the reason why we're doing this request is it because it's just under 200 miles of a relocation. And that's why we're doing the request as well, just to make that exception.
Yes, we are requesting an exception, but we're required to actually bring any relocation yeah. reimbursement request yeah. before the board. So when we've done this before, what we take the short answer is we always are required to bring this before the board.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
None.
All right. I'll make the motion. I'd like to move in the matter of authorizing the prosecuting attorney to reimburse Eric
Puccio
up to $5,000 for relocation expenses per the county's relocation expense policy resolution 08534.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right, the ayes have it.
Thanks for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Any elected officials? I asked this time too, Josie.
No.
Yes.
Yes. I just had two really quick things. First of all, I wanted to say I'm really happy to see Superior Court Administration adding these caseworkers, because the shortage of court reporters has had that duty fall to the clerk's office to assure that there is a record of a proceeding, and it truly is a court function. So we're happy to see that that's moving forward. And then I wanted to say thank you to Robert Blaine, Riley, Danica, our amazing facilities team, our IT team, and Vanland Construction for phase one and phase two for the clerk's office, and then the new jury assembly room. The jury assembly room is amazing. Not having those jurors take five jurors at a time in an elevator to the second floor for our jury assembly room has been a real game changer for us. And then, of course, the commissioners for allowing this to be on the capital projects. Now that it moves to phase three, I'm out of construction meetings, so yay, we're done. But we really appreciate all the work that's been done and all the help that we've had. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other elected officials?
Will, I got to say something real quick, too.
Yes, sir.
So just real quick, just so everybody knows as well, we're out of town right now in Phoenix. Here at Energy Community, we're with Energy Community Alliance with Waste Management, DOEs here, a lot of different organizations here, a lot of different commissioners from all across the country, along with mayors and city council members throughout the country. And this is in reference to cleanup in all our communities and making sure that DOE is continually going to clean up the Hanford area. And we just got done talking in reference to finance right before this meeting, and how I think it's $200 billion just to go ahead and clean the tank waste in Hanford. So we're talking budgets right now and how we can bring more money into the Tri-Cities in cleaning up Hanford. So I just want to let everybody know that's what we're doing right now on behalf of the county.
Yeah, this Commissioner Delvin, I want to go with Commissioner Alvarez said, and we just had a really good meeting with Ike White. He's the senior person on the EM and the Department of Energy. Had a good discussion and meeting a lot of people here, having discussions with really from people from around the world when it comes to waste management, cleanup of nuclear waste. So it's a good conference. So thanks.
All right. Thank you. Anything else? We're good? All right. Take the rest of the day off, guys. This meeting's adjourned.